today's mailbag. It is such a great feeling to know that as I'm moving through November and December and setting up my holiday binder and holiday basket, that I can finally stop reinventing the wheel next year. I plan to put copies of all the recipes that go with this year's menu. I can make changes next year if I choose to, but it flows well this year. Why would I?
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Growth is such an interesting concept, idea, paradigm. The process of growing as an individual is often hidden for yourself and for others around you. And I, you know, love to think about my thinking, and I love to observe people, and I love to see how things grow over time. And when I started Organize 365 in 2012, I also started a direct sales company, and I felt like, because I was on the ground floor of that direct sales company, it was Clever Container, it's not around anymore, that I would be able to earn significant income because I understood direct sales, and this was an organizing company, and I was, you know, one of the first 300 consultants, I would be able to leverage that understanding. And quickly, I moved into being an in-home professional organizer, and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm in a service industry. I hired a team, so I was able to earn an income there. And my goal was always to replace my teaching salary, and then if possible, make more, because we were already in debt, even with the teaching salary, so that I would have enough money to afford the medical and education that I wanted for my kids. Greg and I have always invested our money into the education and the medical needs of our kids. We don't take very many trips. We've never moved, you know, buy used cars, drive our cars for a long time. And as a former educator, like, I value education above almost anything. So any educational experience I can give my kids, my mom did the same for us. And then medicine, like the best doctors, the best alternative therapy, like whatever. I was always seeking to improve our kids' health and future well-being by giving them the best medical resources available. And so I knew I needed to earn a little bit more money in order to do that because our kids had a lot of medical needs. And between 2012 and this podcast, 2017, I had told you that I wanted to be a business owner and I wanted to be an employer, and I was an employer. I had a couple of 1099 contractors. At one point, we had 5 people organizing houses in Cincinnati. By the time you got to 2017, it was costing $900 for us to come and organize your house in a day. I would send 2 people. I was not one of those 2 people. And they would go and they would organize the house. And we were doing multiple complete home organization packages where we'd come for a week and we'd organize your entire house for $5,000. I had done a little TV special on our local TV station. We had organized a family that had quadruplets that were all special needs. We'd organized that live on air. I was being featured in magazines. I was loving it. Like, as far as being an in-home professional organizer, I was at the top of my game. I was, you know, charging a really high dollar per hour. I'd grown a team. We were doing all those things. And yet there was something I was like, I don't think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know how to explain that. around 2015, I had started the podcast. I also hired Pat to help me with the blog. And so now here we were a couple of years later. Pat was an employee. I had just hired a bookkeeper. And I was like, you know, I just really feel like I need to stop doing the in-home organizing and I need to go all in on the online blog and podcast. And not many people were listening to the podcast at that time. We had a free home organization challenge at the time, which was 40 weeks, one whole house, if you've ever heard of that. It was basically, you know, how I organized my house in 2012. I was walking other women who had school-age children through the same process that I had gone through. But I was starting to realize, as I was doing so much in-home organizing, that a lot of the women that we were organizing, and it was mostly women, I did a few men, but mostly women, they were diagnosed or self-diagnosed with ADHD. That was a big theme that I heard. And then also a lot of the people that we were organizing didn't have kids at all. And I was like, this is interesting. They were in their 50s and 60s. They were recently widowed or divorced, or they were getting ready to be remarried. That was kind of a time frame when people would hire us. I was organizing a lot of children. People would hire me to come and organize their children, which I loved doing. We were doing a lot of photo albums. I was making a lot of photo albums for people. I was an administrative assistant. We organized somebody's whole house, and then we organized all of their kids' artwork into binders, and then I became her administrative assistant. I was working 25 hours a week for her and organizing the business that she was a salesperson for. I was doing a lot of different organizing, and while we were very profitable, I still felt like I did back in 2007 and 2009, where I was like doing so many different jobs. Like I was organizing photos here, and then I was organizing paper here, and then kids here, and like it was always different. And I was like, I love what I'm doing, but I feel like we need to give up the in-home organizing because I know I'm supposed to be having a bigger impact on more people who need to get organized. And the longer I do in-home organizing, which is really good money, I will not press into what I need to change and do in order to have basically teach organizing on the internet. And I'd always wanted to teach organizing on the internet. Like I always felt like teaching the skill of organizing was my thing. And that somehow this Organize 365 blog was going to be where the income came from. And that's where the company was going to come from, you know, where the company was going to grow. But I couldn't figure out what that was going to look like. I looked at all the other bloggers that I knew, and they maybe had an assistant like I had Pat, but they didn't have a company. Like they didn't have like Organize 365 today, 15 employees. Like they didn't have 15 employees with a warehouse, with an office. And Once again, I'm looking around and I'm not seeing what I think I need to see. And I was an LLC at the time, a service-based industry, and I was starting to get really nervous about sending myself and other people into other people's homes, just the liability of it. I was like, you know, I just don't know if this is the kind of business I want to build going forward, the liability of being in people's homes with their stuff, organizing their stuff. I just think I'm opening myself up to a world of hurt in the future. So along the way, all the way back in 2012, I had written an ebook, The Sunday Basket, as an ebook. It got picked up and it got put into a Ultimate Bundles right away, and it was really, really popular. And so I had been podcasting for a while, and I thought, you know, I'm really at a crossroads here. I've been in business 5 years. We're profitable. I want to be able to reach more people. But the only way to reach more people is I basically am going to have to manufacture this Sunday basket. Because if you can't figure it out through the podcast or through the ebook, then there's no way for you to create a Sunday basket. And a few years prior, there had been a back to school special at one of the office supply stores where they had created the plastic slash pockets that you put in binders in all one color. They were like a lime green, a really bright blue, and hot pink. And I had bought these slash pockets, and I had kind of doctored up my Friday work box and my Sunday basket with these all the same colored slash pockets. I was like, this is so much better than the rainbow ones, because whenever I saw anything that was green, it was related to the professional organization business. Anything that was blue was related to content, and anything that was pink was related to my blog. So when I looked at my Friday work box, I could divide out, and I had bought a couple sets of these slash pockets. So this was really great. And I was like, I didn't get the orange. They also had orange. I says, I'm going to go back and get the orange. So it's like October. I go back and they're sold out. It was a back to school special. So for years, I was trying to find these manufactured slash pockets that didn't exist. They were like just like a one run that this one office supply company had done as a back to school special, and they never did it again. But because I had seen that, I was like, this is what the Sunday basket needs. Like, I've been teaching the Sunday basket, and people are creating Sunday baskets, and I'm creating Sunday baskets for people in their houses, and I'm explaining it. But if I could have it where I had, you know, pink, purple, blue, green slash pockets, then people would really understand how to use the Sunday basket. And I also was teaching a direct sales Friday workbox. I'd been doing that since 2009. And there were all kinds of direct sellers in Cincinnati who also had a Longaberger basket with all of these slash pockets in it. And I was teaching them, and I had come up with colors. And I said, the colors are pink, purple, blue, green. There are these four different things that you do inside of direct sales, and you're only focusing on one or two, and that's why you're not a profitable company. Like, you're only focusing on your leads, but you're not following up on your leads. So leads are pink, and then customers are purple, or you're really great with your customers, but then you forget that you need new leads because your customers are going to be done using your product or whatever, and you're not focusing on one or the other, either leads or customers. And if I can get you to focus on leads and customers, then the amount of income that you make from your direct sales company will continue to go up. And then once the income and the revenue and the number of customers you have go up, then you're going to need these other two colors, which are blue and green. And I had picked these colors because of these characters that I used in my talk. And I said, like, pink is the color of, you know, the lifeblood of your company. If you don't have leads and you don't have new people coming into your company, so that's the pink. And purple is the color of royalty, and you need to treat your customers like they're the royalty that they are, and give them VIP customer service so that they always come back to you and they bring their friends to you. And then you move to blue, which is loyalty. And blue, the color of loyalty, that's your team members. Those are your customers that then become consultants and they start their own business, and you need to really reward them for the loyalty that they bring into your company and really invest in them. And then green, every direct seller on the planet is terrible at this. Like, we're just terrible at keeping track of our income and expenses. Like, all we want to talk about are the latest party we had and how much revenue we made from that party. We pretend that we have no expenses whatsoever. And then you get to March and you're like, oh no, I need to have all my receipts. Where are all my receipts? How am I going to give these to my accountant? And how much mileage did I drive? Like, you don't even know. So you definitely need to keep track of those things. So I was teaching that, and I was using those colors. But we were just using like regular, like you go to the store slash pockets, and just they're just random colors. So the colors I was explaining for the kind of work you were doing were in your head, but they weren't in your workbox and they weren't on your calendar. I wasn't color coding on the calendar yet or any of that. And so I was, it's 2017, and my mom was down, and we were talking, and I was talking to her about this. I was like, you know, the Sunday Basket ebook is really taking off, and a lot of people are doing the Sunday Basket. And when I look at my podcast, you know, the Sunday Basket is the episode everybody downloads and they listen to the Sunday Basket, and it reduces the overwhelm that's on the kitchen counter. I was like, but the problem is there are no school supplies. And so people are trying to learn this based on what I can explain in a podcast, but they're not in Cincinnati, so they can't even see my Sunday basket, and nobody's even buying Longaberger baskets anymore. And the colors of the slash pockets don't really match. And I was like, you know what we really need is I really need to manufacture these slash pockets so that everybody has, you know, five pink, five purple, five blue, five green. Then at least when they go to organize their direct sales basket or they go to organize their Sunday basket, it's not like looking at 25 slash pockets. You have the rainbow ones, and then you have these five of each of these other colors. Like, it will chunk it for people so that they can actually master the system, and it will make more sense, and it will save them so much time. And she said, well, why aren't you doing that? I'm like, well, because I don't know how. I don't even know how to manufacture slash pockets. I said, I figured it out. They're manufactured in China. Like, they're not manufactured in the United States, but I don't know how many you need or whatever. So I was actually in the process of manufacturing the slash pockets. I had found a broker, and I had to order 10,000 sets or whatever. I was like, I don't even know where these are going to go when they get here or what I'm going to do. And they could just use any basket that they want. Like, people can just use any basket that they want. And so my mom said to me, she said, well, okay, if you created your own Sunday basket, what would it be? And I was trying to figure out how to use a Longaberger basket, but the shipping of it and the cost, it's like a $110 basket. Plus, they've gone out of business too. I was like, I don't even know how. Like, I love a Longaberger basket, but you can't even ship that one. So all of a sudden, just because my mom had asked me that question, I said, okay, here's what it would be. It needs to fold flat for shipping, but it needs to pop up so it can sit on your kitchen counter. It needs to always be open so that you could just drop everything in there. And it needs to have a divider in there, not in the middle, but like, you know, two thirds, so that you can have your slash pockets sitting upright so they're not falling down and slouching, because that would happen in my Longaberger basket. Like, so that the slash pockets would stay upright. And then, but it has to have that big spot, like I do in my basket, where you could put in the toy that needs new batteries, or the prescription that needs to be refilled, or the box from the thing that needs to be reordered, so that you don't have to stop. Like, you could just drop the stuff in the basket like I do. And so I was describing this, and my mom went home, and the next weekend she said, I'm going to come down and we will design the prototype. And so in the basement, she's a seamstress. So she started sewing, and she created this teeny tiny little Sunday basket. And I was like, that's it. That's it. So I took the prototype, and she created larger ones too. And I went up to Columbus, and in Columbus, Ohio, is where 31 Gifts, a bag company, is headquartered. And so there are quite a few manufacturers up in Columbus that create prototypes for 31 Gifts. And I had a friend who had worked at one of those, and they're like, hey, bring that up here and we'll make it. So I made 10 prototypes of the original Sunday basket. And then I started calling manufacturers. First, I got a patent pending, and then I started calling manufacturers. I ended up in October flying to Texas and meeting the manufacturer of the first Sunday basket. We've since switched Sunday basket manufacturers. And so in 2017, I made this leap from being an in-home service provider to what would it take? What is the limitation? What was holding us back in Organize 365 from Organize 365 becoming what it is today? And what I realized was it was a couple of things. Number one, in order to teach the Sunday basket, the Friday workbox, the binders, the productive home solution, in order to teach those things, I was capped out. Like, I was able to produce a podcast, no problem. But in order to manufacture, physically manufacture, and then create all of the assets that were going to go with all of these things, I needed manufacturers and I needed a team. And in order to do that, it meant that I needed to become a different kind of company than I had been up until that point. So in the first 5 years of Organize 365, I was a solopreneur through an LLC. Pat was a W-2 employee, but everyone else was a 1099 contractor. I was taking whatever jobs came from wherever and just running it all through my personal tax return, like Schedule C on my personal tax return. And I said to my accountant, I said, we are going to need to change this company to a C corp. Like, it's going to need to become a corporation or an S corp or whatever. It's not an LLC. She said, no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So I found a tax attorney and I talked to them about what I was doing and what I thought I was going to do. Like, when you start placing orders in China, like, pallets of product come your way. Like, it's, I'm like, I'm going to need a warehouse. We had just created our first physical product, which was a planner. Like, I was like, we need a place to store these things. Somebody's going to need to ship them, and it's not going to be me. Like, we're going to need more liability insurance. I'm going to need more employees. Like, this is going to be bigger than what it is today. So I created a C Corp, and my accountant was like, you're not going to need this. And then the next year, we had $440,000 worth of revenue, which I think the year prior, we had like $120,000. And she was like, where'd all this income coming from? And I said, I told you this is what I was going to be doing. And I didn't want all this running through my personal tax return. So luckily, I had trusted my gut. And I would say in 2017 was when I really started trusting my gut as a business owner. So in 2012, I trusted my gut as a homeowner and recognizing that I needed to leave the job that I had and start to create my own company. In 2017, I really became the beginning of the business owner that you see today that has all W-2 employees and has a lease and has products and has all of these things. And that was a huge leap because at that point, my father had passed away. So it wasn't like I could talk to him about this. He would have been like, oh yeah, you do this. Here's the people that you meet. My stepfather also had passed away, so I couldn't talk to him about it, but he also did not value women as business owners. So I don't know if he would have really been all for everything that I was doing. He was not, maybe that's not right, but yeah, he really never saw me as a business owner. He saw me more as like Greg's wife. And so here I am 5 years later, again, not a really good example of women. I had met a lot of women who had earned six figures and started their own business and had a couple of 1099 contractors or had a couple of W-2 employees, but they didn't have businesses, like physical businesses. They didn't have a whole staff. There was one. There's this one woman I knew, and she had started a company like in her 20s, and she now had like eight locations, and she had all these W-2 employees. And I was like, we have to go to lunch. So we went to lunch, and I told her what I was doing, and she was really a great sounding board for me. And she was like, okay, try this, do this, do that. And she, ironically, had a brick and mortar store, and she was trying to pivot online. So she was asking me a lot of questions about the podcast and the blog and things that I was doing in that way. And so in 2016 actually, was when I hired my first coach. And I remember it was like $1,000 a month. I was like, this is insanity. Like, this is a lot of money. But I also knew that the cap to my growth was me. And that if I didn't invest in me, then there was like no business. And so even though it was a lot of money, and I didn't really know anybody who was making these kinds of investments, I was like, well, I don't know what I don't know. So I'm going to need to invest. So I had that coach for 6 months. Then in 2016, I ended up going to a conference. And at that conference, someone who I really admired had like a mastermind day. I think it was $6,000. So I signed up for $6,000 for this mastermind day. There were just six of us there. And you got 45 minutes in the hot seat. So like you could make your presentation and then they would speak into your company. Well, I studied for this like I was getting a PhD. Like I came, I had a PowerPoint presentation. I had my whole 5 years of business plan. I shared it all. And I think I went first. So at the end of the 12 minutes, then he was giving me all this feedback. Everybody else who was at the event, they were just like extemporaneously speaking about their businesses. They hadn't created a research project like I had. And I learned a lot from that event, but really all of the things that I did in the next couple of years, that investing in the coach, the investing in the mastermind, I then went on the next year to do strategic coach, which I think was $10,000. And then I went on to do the next thing. All those things that I did, well, I learned a lot in all of those experiences with these experts. What it did was, it was my personal investing in myself. It was me saying to myself, like, you're worth $1,000 a month to talk to a coach so that you can figure out what you want. You're worth $6,000 at this conference for you to spend a day with this expert that you've admired for a long time, for them to specifically speak into your business. You're worth, for strategic coach, I went four times to Chicago, you're worth once a quarter leaving your business and your family to get on an airplane, to go to another city, to stay overnight, to meet with other business owners that speak into your business, to come back. Like, it's okay for not every single thing I do in my business to be income generating. Like, that was really, really a big deal for me. And I really started to realize that I wanted to create these systems and processes that people anywhere in the world, in any size dwelling, whether you had children or not, could get a Sunday basket and get back 5 hours a week so that you could pour that into the Productive Home Solution like I had done in 2012 to change your future trajectory. Like, the only things that will ever change the future that you're going to have going forward versus the future that you have right now is the investment that you make in yourself. Like, the people that you meet, the education that you have, the experiences that you experience, because you take you with you, right? So in reflecting on all this time that I'm flying, I'm driving, I'm learning, like, really started reflecting on How do you change your future? How do you, when I was looking at all the hundreds of people that we organized in Cincinnati, how did they get to where they were when they called in professional organization help? What was the story they were telling themselves about whether they were or were not worth having us come and support them in that time? What led them up? Like, what happened before we came? What happened after? And that's when I really started looking at what happened after. Like, understanding why you want to get organized, that I understood. Like, okay, life got moving too fast. You became roadkill. Somebody has to help you. Unexpected events happened. Someone got sick. You moved. You whatever. Like, why we ended up getting called in as a professional organizer, that was pretty logical. What was not logical was what happened after people felt like they were organized. That was amazing. Sometimes it was transactional. And usually it was transactional if the person who was hiring us was just used to hiring people. Like, they had a house cleaner, they had a nanny, they were a corporate executive, and you were the person that was hired to help them do this move or transition their child to college or whatever. Like, they were just used to hiring people and you were the person they hired. That was what I expected from organization. What I didn't expect was the families that really, really struggled to find the time, the money, and the confidence to hire a professional organizer. And they weren't really sure what they would get out of it. But then what they got out of it was so much bigger than I ever imagined. So I'll tell you a couple of stories. One was one of my very first organizing jobs. And I think this, because this was one of my very first organizing jobs, it always changed the trajectory of what Organize 365 would be. So I just started organizing, and this probably would have been like April, May 2012, like right after I got the job. And it was a woman, a young woman in her 20s. She had two kids. She had like a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And she lived in a really small house. Like, there were three bedrooms. It was just a small little ranch-style house. And so I showed up at the house, and I was charging $100 for 2.5 hours. That was how I started organizing. And I usually was doing like pantries or whatever. And she wanted me to do her four-year-old's bedroom. He was at preschool. I said, okay. So I got there and I organized the four-year-old's bedroom. It's $100. I even grabbed the vacuum and I vacuumed it. It looked great when I was done. And she said, okay, if I buy a pizza for us to have for lunch, would you also do my little girl's bedroom? And I said, yes. So I went in, I had to check all the clothes and make sure they were all the right size. And I got all done with that job. And so I was there, 5.5 hours, plus I had pizza. I was like, this is great. And she paid me $200 and I left. I was like, this is amazing. I'm getting ready to leave. She's standing at the door. She hands me the money. I'm on the outside of the door. And she says, thank you so much. My husband just lost his job this morning, but I know this is what I'm going to need in order to stay sane moving forward. And she shut the door. And I was like, what? Like, you need this money more than I need this money. And of course, I needed the money. But I was like, I can't take this money from her. Like, her husband just lost his job. She did not have a job. They have these two little kids. And here I am taking $200 cash away. And I was just like, am I allowed to get paid for this? Like, I know I provided a service. And the fact that she had called her husband at lunch, obviously they both knew that he had lost his job or whatever, and they had decided that, yes, do both bedrooms so that they would have more bandwidth. It took me a long time to figure out why that would be beneficial at all. And it's really, she just wanted to know that everything in that house fit and that the kids had what they needed so that it gave them more time. It gave them more bandwidth. It was maybe a year later when I was organizing another family, and I was writing a book with them. I was working on writing a book with them, and they had a couple of special needs kids, and we were using the same alternative therapist, and so we had met that way. And I came over, and we organized three spaces. So we started in the single car garage that was attached to the house, but there was no car in it. It was just like, imagine your basement full of toys. That's what this garage was like. Just total mismatch of all kinds of things. And I love to do jigsaw puzzles. So the two of us were out there and we were organizing. And she said, have you seen the other pink crock? And I'm like, yeah, it's back at 2 o'clock over by. She's like, how do you know this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. I just take a photographic memory of the entire space and then I start organizing. I know where everything is in the space. She's like, that's unbelievable. So we organized the garage and she was able to pull her car in. So then I came back a couple weeks later and we were organizing the kitchen. And when we organized the kitchen, I was in one of the cabinets that was down under a drawer and I found a tax return check. And I was like, are you looking for this? She's like, oh my gosh, we didn't cash that tax return check because we could never find it. And she was able to get that reissued. So a couple weeks later, I came and I was doing her master closet. Now she had a huge master closet and her husband has one half and she had the other. And I said, okay, I don't organize people who are not here with us. So we're not going to touch your husband's side. We're just going to do your side. She's like, fine. So we're going through and we're organizing that closet. And one thing that I found as I was organizing is that as you organize people's closets, often women will put things in their closet that they don't know where to put other places. And if there's ever been a child that's been lost or has passed away, there will always be that in a woman's closet. And so we did find that, and we found a couple of other things that were very emotional for the homemaker. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, so what do you do with that? Like, there's nothing you can do with that. I'm not a therapist. And also, one of the things that I had learned in organizing is that a professional organizer is many things. They definitely know how to create order out of chaos, so obviously. But also, a professional organizer is a cheerleader. They're a coach. They really keep your spirits up. They help you move faster. They keep you on task. They just make it easier to accomplish the goal. And so we'd run into this. We're like halfway through. Her energy's draining. I'm looking at the closet, and it's like, there's no way we're getting this closet done. And I was like, all right, the only way I'm going to get this closet done is if I just do it and stop asking questions. And I didn't want to get kicked out of the house. I didn't want to get to the point where she was like, because I mean, it's when you're organizing, especially if you're emotionally spent and drained, like you just don't want people in your house anymore. You're like, you know what? Forget it. We're done for the day. And I had a feeling we were getting to the forget it. We're done for the day kind of, feel. So we're 3 hours in. I had 5 hours and I felt like she was about to say, we're done. And I said, you know what? I think we need more flocked hangers. And she's like, okay. I said, would you be able to run to the store to get those for me? And she said, yeah. I said, and you mentioned that you really wanted ice cream. How about if you get yourself ice cream and then get us some coffees on the way home? She's like, okay. So she leaves to go do that. And I was like, all right, Lisa, you know, she could come back in as little as 20 minutes. And if, you know, all the stars aligned, you've got the full 2 hours, like you've got to get this done. When that woman walks back in this room, this closet has to be done. So I got the closet done and she comes in with the hangers, which obviously I didn't need. We just returned those. Don't worry about that part of the story. And she just starts crying and I'm like, oh, I screwed up. She didn't want me to finish it without her. I've done something wrong. Like the stress of the day was too much, whatever, on and on and on, just in my own head. And she says, oh my gosh, I can go back to work. And I said, what? And she said, yeah. And she used to, you know, run companies and stuff. She's like, I could never figure out how I could get both of my special needs kids off to school and then get myself dressed at the same time in order to go back to work. But now I could go back to work. And I was blown away. And I was like, we cleaned out your garage, your kitchen, and your closet, and you're now telling me you can re-enter the workforce. It never occurred to me how much your home environment impacts your ability to be part of society. And this is why I will often say men are not holding women back. Like her husband wasn't keeping her out of the workforce. Her husband wasn't saying that she couldn't go back to work. Like her house was telling her, you can't get it together. Look around you. You can't even get dressed. How are you going to go back to work? You won't. And she did. She went back. She's written books. She's done all these amazing things. And that's when I realized. So this is, you know, in the first couple of years of organizing, I'm like, I love organizing. Like to this day, I love, put me in a house. I love organizing. I love it. I would love to be an in-home professional organizer for the rest of my life. It's very, very fun and rewarding for me. But I also knew that ultimately being able to give people their time back so that they can do what they're uniquely created to do, that was the true gift I was giving through in-home organization. It wasn't just the space getting organized, which is fun for me. It was the freedom to be able to leave that house because it was organized enough for that client to be able to re-enter society and do whatever they're uniquely created to do. Now, let me be clear. In my 30s, I was uniquely created to be Joey and Abby's stay-at-home mom. Like, that is what I feel like I was uniquely created to do. But now in my 50s, I am uniquely created to really press into the research and the plight of the person's the head of the household and how to give them more time, freedom, and bandwidth to do what they're uniquely created to do, which is almost always not laundry, dishes, and bill pay. It's something different. And until you have that time to struggle with what that is, then you will not press into that. Like, being bored is great because being bored makes you think about what you should be doing with your time or what you could be doing or what could be possible or what is next. And that is what happened in 2017. I had always said all the way back to 2012 that I wanted to grow an online organizational company. The in-home organizing company gave me so many stories and examples of what is happening inside of households that I hold on to today. But the ability to teach organization through a podcast and through online courses was key. And the thing that I added in 2012 was these physical products. Not a lot of them, but enough. And the physical products that did not exist in the marketplace and really supercharge your organizing are the Sunday basket, the Friday workbox, and then these binders, the binders that will settle an estate for you or help you be the power of healthcare or help you sell your house or run your household and operations. These binders that ditch your filing cabinet, these binders that are portable if there's a hurricane or a fire coming, these binders that are able to ease communication and reduce overwhelm and give you a lifeline when you are experiencing the life events I've already experienced, which are your parent getting sick and passing away and having to sell your family home. Most of us are going to have to do these things. And still to this day, 5 years later, there are not other companies that have created this. Like, kind of what's funny, and also not funny at all. I will talk to other professional organizers and they're like, oh, you know, how long do you think I could do this? I'm like, for the rest of your life. There's no artificial robot coming to save the American homeowner or organize people's houses for them. Like, everything else in society will be fixed first, and then they'll come for our jobs. Like, we're recession-proof. Like, forever. Forever, you'll be able to help people organize their houses. Forever. Like, it boggles my mind how little thought and resources are available for homeowners, for doing housework and organization. It's like nothing. There's none. And so it's a great opportunity for Organize 365 and anybody else who wants to step into organization. But you all start your day at home and you all end your day at home. And yet there just are not very many resources for how we do that. So my personal 2017, There's a lot I had to do organizationally in order to be able to do what I wanted to do inside of the company. And I was doubling down on my Sunday basket. Like, I did my Sunday basket every single Sunday because my kids at the time were 16 and 17. And these, I mean, I was spending 25 hours a week in my car. In 2017, I spent 25 hours a week in my car driving kids, mostly just to school and back because we did not do a lot of extracurriculars. And then I also was driving for my in-home professional organization jobs or any coaching or any networking that I was doing. Like, I was constantly in my car. And I did not realize how stressful that is. Like, how stressful it is to have so many responsibilities at home and yet never be there. Like, literally never be there. There were bills to pay, college applications, high school related things, kids learning to drive, medical things that need to be done. But yet I was never home. And so I lived with my Sunday basket often in my car. Like it would just be in my car so I could add stuff into there. Or if I was at school 15 minutes early, I could grab out a slash pocket. I could do something else. I also started to create more Friday workboxes. I've always had more than one Friday workbox. So I had a Friday workbox for the blog and the podcast. I had another one for this team that I was growing for the in-home organization. So the in-home organization had a Friday workbox. And then I had a Friday workbox for the Organize 365 W-2 employees. And this is when, by the end of 2017, I hired 7 people in 7 weeks. So in 2018, I had this team. I had a couple of W-2 employees and mostly a lot of 1099 contractors that were specifically hired to help me get out of my head all of these things I'd been talking about on the podcast for years, but we hadn't made the school supplies for yet. So the actual physical Sunday basket, the physical Friday workbox, the physical binders. And this is when I started doing meetings poorly, like not well, because I was running so fast and trying to do so many different things that by the time I got the blogging team together in order to create the physical products that were going to be made, I was processing through what needed to be done next. I'd never done this before. I didn't know how to create physical products, manufacture physical products, receive them, ship them. I didn't know any of this. And the people who joined me on the team, I mean, they knew pieces and parts of it. So we would have meetings, all of us. I mean, it's semi-comical now, but it was such a waste of money. We would get on Zoom and I'd be like, okay, let's talk about the medical binder. Where are we on the medical binder? I'd be like, okay, here's the information we have. Here's the graphics. Here's the binder. Okay, what do we need next? Where is it going to be shipped? How are we going to package it? How much is it going to cost to package it? And by the time we'd get done with a meeting, I would have more information, but often we'd have very few decisions being made. And then we'd have another meeting, another meeting, another meeting, which is why I now have the meeting mastermind, where I teach you how to have more productive meetings that don't cost you so much money. And as we were making this full pivot into the online physical product Organized 365 company, we could not let go of the in-home service company because that was paying for everything. So we would go out and we would do in-home organizing jobs, and I would take that money and then I would pay the people that I had just hired to help me on the blog. And so in 2017, I think I didn't even take a salary because I was robbing Peter to pay Paul in order to grow the business that we had now. In 2017, I was still working from my bedroom because the kids both had their bedrooms, and I don't know what we were doing in the loft, but I had set up a desk in my bedroom, and I know this because Pat came over and we had a meeting in my bedroom. And I think that's when she said, maybe we could meet in the living room next time. I was like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea. And the company was growing faster than my mindset could keep up with. Like, what does a company look like? And so if you are in this place where you have figured out what you're uniquely created to do, but now you don't really know somebody who has created this same thing that you want to create, it is it's a unique place to be in, where you have the confidence that this is something that is worth creating, but you literally have no idea how you're going to do it. And no one around you knows how you're going to do it. And luckily, I didn't have anyone around me saying, oh, how's that cute blog business going? Or, you know, what are you doing? Like, no one was belittling what I was doing, but also no one was really asking what I was doing. And so I was in kind of this little bubble where I could try things. And of course, you who are listening would know if it was working or not working. But the people in my community and my family, they didn't really know what I was doing, which is kind of fun. And I would say in 2017, like, my house stayed organized. And that's the one thing I will say about the productive home solution and the year that you take to really double down on getting your home organized. When you double down on getting your home organized, it will stay organized for a long period of time. not perfectly. I mean, you have to maintain it every week. But when you really put in that year into learning the skill of organizing, it really does stay organized for a long time. And you recoup that time exponentially for a long time. I like to say that organization is where time comes from. So true. Like when you create a Sunday basket, you get 5 hours that week. Now you have to do it every week, and every week you get another 5 hours. When you invest the time in organizing your house and the productive home solution, which usually takes anywhere from like 2 to 5 hours a week for a solid year, at the end of that year, or when you feel like you're in a good holding place, you will maintain that extra time that you gain for a long time. A decade or more, especially if it's when your kids have already gone to school full time. Like if your youngest is 6, then when you get organized like that, you will stay organized until the next time that you're in a really unorganized, long standing period of time. Like if someone gets a really bad illness, or you are to experience someone passing away or a divorce or something like that, then you're going to need to get reorganized, or you're going to need to organize whoever that loved one is. But for the most part, once you invest that solid year in your home, that stays. So in 2017, I had all that extra time. Like I had all that extra time compounded over the last 4 years that, yes, I was growing my business and I was spending a lot of time, but I wasn't spending a lot of time organizing my house because I'd reduced the amount of stuff I had in my house by 70%, and then I was just maintaining it. So I didn't have to spend that time. I had all of that extra time. And 2017 until now is when I really moved into planning. So I often say that there are 3 stages of organizing. The first is decluttering, which I did in 2012. Then organizing, and organizing is basically putting your stuff back. After you get it out and play with it, please put it away. Thank you. That is organizing. Everything has a place. And when everything has a place and you have a regular routine of putting those things back where they belong, you end up getting time. So organization is where time comes from. And then once you are organized for a certain period of time, it's just natural that you move into productivity and planning. And productivity and planning is where capacity comes from. So this is something new I've started talking about. And you have to be decluttered and organized in order to really reap the exponential rewards of productivity and planning. And productivity and planning is being able to think about your thinking. It's being able to look at the organization you have and make slight tweaks and modifications that will give you exponential time in the future. And then what you do with that time is where you get more capacity. You cannot create something new, and I could not have been able to run both the in-home professional organization company and the physical product blog company at the same time in 2017 if I was still in 2012 trying to get my physical space in order. It is the physical space having been in order and the extra time that I had from that, which gave me the capacity to amplify the amount of impact that I could make with the same organizing ideas. It gave me the time to invest in hiring a second team in order to grow the physical product portion of the company, while the first team was delivering on the service business and bringing in the money to fund the second part of the team. And since 2017, planning has been my biggest driver. And the capacity to think about what I just accomplished in the last quarter in business or the last trimester at home, and then think forward to what I want to accomplish in the next quarter or the next trimester at home. This planning in 2017, while it created the Organized 365 that you see today, it really first started to create the kids that you see today. I find it interesting how intentional I was about this, but also it was completely accidental. Completely. So 2017, Joey was 17 and Abby was 16. We're starting to teach Joey how to drive. Abby had switched schools again, it would be the next year that I started homeschooling her. Again, I would have never had the capacity to homeschool Abby if I had not already organized my home and if we had not started to create the second company at Organize 365. And it was the constant planning. And I didn't even plan my business as much as I planned my home life. I have always, always prioritized my role as a wife and mother over my role as a business owner. And so my role as a wife and mother, like, this is the only job that only I can do. And so I only have so many summers, and each summer I teach my kids life skills. And so I was running out of summers as the kids were getting ready to launch. And I was like, what other skills do my kids need? And how am I going to teach those skills? I will say, part of my decision to homeschool Abby was, I was like, great, I'll get more time to teach life skills because the kid will be right there with me. It'll be great. And so I really started this in 2012, but in 2017, I got super, super serious about what I was teaching the kids when and how those life skills would support them in their 20s when they launched and when they lived on their own. And so we really doubled down on the kids' bedrooms being mini apartments, teaching them how to write resumes, teaching them how to drive, teaching them how to vote, teaching them how to buy clothes, teaching them how to budget, and just investing time in conversing with them and hearing about what they wanted to do when they were older, how they wanted to earn an income, where they wanted to live, like what style do they like? Like, I have a pretty French country is what my, Carol tells me is my design style. 80s, basically. Like, preppy 80s. Jewel tones. This is what I like. So I started asking the kids, like, what design aesthetic do you even like? They both kind of like modern. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Because we don't have any modern stuff in our house. Just that kind of stuff. And so in 2017, because I was driving 25 hours a week, I consumed so many podcasts and I had so much time to just think and dream about what was possible for Greg and I when we would eventually become empty nesters, haha, for our kids as they would launch from home, for Organize 365 as I started to morph into this online physical product company. Just all of these things, I would just spend so much time thinking and organizing. And if you are in your place where you're like, okay, Lisa, I'm back to your 2012 self, where I just have to go through and organize this entire house, I think that it is so helpful. Like, the process of organizing your house and decluttering and organizing and figuring out what you want to do next, that physicalness of the decluttering and organizing your physical stuff is really a great way to process through all of that. At the end of 2018, into 2019, we started the certification program in 2017 for the Sunday Basket. We started to do in-home paper organizing retreats, and I had had this in-home paper organizing retreat idea all the way back into 2012. You know, in 2012, I did workshops. Like, I did organization workshops, and I even did paper organizing workshops inside of my home. It was just an extension of those photo organizing workshops that I had done as a creative memories consultant. So I was seeing that work before we hit the pandemic, and we were really starting to become our own little online physical product brand company. So, so, so fun. And now we are in 2023. So in this last podcast episode next week, I'll talk to you about how my Sunday Basket, the Productive Home Solution, and the Friday Workbox have evolved into what is now and what is coming next. Habits are a funny thing. Our habits develop over time, and sometimes it's very conscious, and sometimes our habits just develop unconsciously. It's often that you can see habits inside of other people better than they can see the habits that they're doing themselves. And I love to study productive people. How are they spending their time? What are they doing? How are they thinking about things? What order do they put things in order to harness the power of their time? Over the years, as I have done that, I have created better and better and better habits for myself. And through the creation of the Sunday Basket and these podcast episodes, I've been able to make visible the invisible habits that I've created over time that have made me the productive person I am today. So if you're thinking, well, this Sunday Basket thing is intriguing, and it's interesting to see how this one habit of the Sunday Basket has moved with Lisa over 20 years in very, very different stages of life and things that I'm doing, I would love for you to try our brand new recreated Sunday Basket mini course. You can find the link right in the show notes for this podcast. So just go to your podcast player and go in the show notes and find the link, and you can sign up there. It's completely free, and I would love to walk you through organizing your habits the way we do in the Sunday Basket. What do you do throughout the week in order to create a new Sunday Basket routine? It is different to put off and delay your decision-making to one day a week. And so it's a new muscle that you need to create. So go ahead and download the free mini course, or if you're already a Sunday Basket user and you've had a hard time articulating why this works for you and how this works, then invite your family, friends, and colleagues to download the free Sunday Basket mini course. Link in the show notes.